A growing number of people are turning to the internet for help with tomorrow's big meal, but when you Google Thanksgiving, along with recipes and ads for Black Friday sales, you'll find an increasing number of articles about how to survive Thanksgiving dinner with your family, especially with the election season underway. Andrew Knowlton, deputy editor of Bon Appetit magazine, believes that he's found a way to avoid the family drama. He wrote in the Thanksgiving issue of his magazine about embracing a new tradition, Friendsgiving, by breaking away from the old one, and I'm very pleased that it has brought him to our show today to talk about it. If you want to join in the conversation, find out about starting your own Friendsgiving, you can call us at 212-433-9692, write to us on our show page at WNYC.org, or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Did you invent this tradition?
I did not. I've just embraced it wholeheartedly. I have to say before we start, I just want to clarify that I love my parents and that we had a very healthy and happy childhood. So,
but you're not going to celebrate Thanksgiving.
I'm not, and I haven't done it for 10 years now. I would say it was dating my wife at the what would be my wife at the time, and we just couldn't get home back to Atlanta. And I had a lot of friends working in the restaurant business who had spouses working on Thanksgiving. And so we just decided to ditch it one year. And I called my parents and said, I'm not coming home after 30 years of going home to Atlanta or being in Atlanta. And I've never looked back.
But that's more convenient than if somebody lives in Brooklyn and his or her parents live in Brooklyn.
It's not for everybody. I'm not saying that. But if, you know, I get to avoid airplanes, it's a long way to go home. And also, I love to cook, and I love tradition in cooking, but I also wanted to make my own traditions. And I still borrow a lot of the things that my parents did.
Well, couldn't your parents just come from Atlanta and stay
except
with
my
you
parents
here?
Don't love New York City that much, so that's part of the problem. But yes, there's always an open invitation to my parents.
To make this work, you also needed to convince friends to break their family traditions. Was it difficult to convince them to come to your Friendsgiving?
It was. I mean, I like to think I'm a good cook, so they were coming for the food. It wasn't. I think people are hesitant at first. And then I think the more and more people have kids and it gets harder to travel and more expensive, that we started with maybe 3 or 4 friends. Last year we had 42 people at our Thanksgiving.
Oh, you have a big space.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. We combine kind of 3 apartments. So we will have cocktails and hors d'oeuvres in one apartment. Then we'll go across the hall and have the actual dinner and then to another apartment for dessert. So and it's grown, you know, I think tomorrow is 16 adults and 14 children.
And that solves some of the problems with refrigerators, because if you're having that many people, you can't fit everything even a large refrigerator.
And stoves and all that stuff. And I think you can be a little bit more casual with your friends, I would say.
Well, you're doing most of the cooking, or is everybody bringing something?
So that's the thing. I think for the first years, I was kind of killing myself cooking for 10 to 12 people. And that's a hard thing to pull off when you're just one person and maybe you have a sous chef. But what we started a couple years ago is we just started a Google Doc, and we would have blanks for turkey, duck, and then 2 stuffings and different mashed potatoes. And then we'd have people fill those in over time. And it just makes it, I mean, everyone, you just had Melissa Clark on talking about, you know, people with all these conundrums for tomorrow. And this was a way that we kind of didn't freak out or anything about stuff. So we you know, it makes it so much more fun, and everyone gets to try other people's traditions.
But how is this any different than just a regular dinner party? Why do it on Thanksgiving?
Well, there's no arguments, let's say. No, I mean, I think
I have a family. We don't argue about politics.
Never. No, I think
we tend to agree.
I think the real thing was I wanted to make my own traditions. I have 2 daughters now. And I love to cook, and I just wanted to start my own traditions for them. And I know one day my daughters probably won't come home for their Thanksgiving, and it'll break my heart.
It'll serve you right.
Yeah, it'll serve me right. I got a lot of letters about this article, and a lot of them were like, shame on you. One day your kids aren't going to come home. But they will start their own traditions, but hopefully they'll make some of Pop's specialty dishes.
I'm just wondering about the turkey. We were talking about how it's pretty much 1 pound or so per person. If you're having 40 people, they make large turkeys, but not that large. How many turkeys would you be making?
We usually do about 3 to 4 turkeys, and so each person in the hall. Well, I have a hallway. It's very kind of Melrose Place, if you will, and everybody's pitching in. But you know, the other thing that another reason is I'm not a huge fan of turkey. I think there's a lot of us out there who aren't huge fans of turkey. So I knew I could never get away with that if I was returning home to my parents' house, doing the more traditional thing. So since I've been doing it, it's there's a smoked goose that I do that I buy from Schultz Farm in North Dakota. And I always do a turkey. We always do a couple turkeys just for leftover day sandwiches. But smoked goose is what we do now. It's almost like a cross between a duck confit and a pastrami. It's sensational. I recommend it to everybody.
My guest is Andrew Knowlton, deputy editor of Bon Appetit magazine. And we're talking about a tradition that he has been celebrating on Thanksgiving called Friendsgiving. What happens if parents come? I mean, some of your friends have to be parents, and you say kids come along.
No, so
this is still could be like Thanksgiving for many families.
That's what was really cool a couple years ago. The word got out that we were having too much fun. I think a lot of the parents found out. And so every year we get, parents visiting their children in New York and them coming over. And we've had, there's a family that's been there 3 times in a row where they drive up from Baltimore.
Do you have a kids' table?
Yeah, that's the thing. I once wrote that I was vehemently opposed to a kids' table just because food is such a big deal to me and breaking bread, and it really means a lot. It just got to be too big with 14 kids. So we do have a kids' table. It is in the same room. We're not condemning them to the basement or anything. And we do have the only rule is it is a tech-free Thanksgiving. There's no iPads. There's no iPhones. We'll put on the Pink Panther or Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving or something like that. But no, you know, and I got letters about, well, you've never spent time with kids if you haven't given them an iPad, and that's just lazy thought.
Some people complain that when they're doing something like this, some of the guests really want to help out even more than they would like. The kitchen gets very crowded later. There's always somebody who, on his or her own, decides to pick up all the plates, go into the kitchen. If there's a dishwasher, they start stacking them in the dishwasher, and you can't say, no, I'll do that later.
Right, right.
Enough times.
Well, we are a village, so everybody has a role at this Thanksgiving, and a lot of the people are in the, like I said, in the same apartment building, so everyone has their own kitchen where they feel comfortable and they don't have to worry about stuff. And then, a lot of the people who are bringing dishes, one of my biggest pet peeves with this is you can't ask for extra bowls. If you're bringing a salad or something, it needs to be in your bowl. Because the worst thing is when you're cooking, somebody's like, yeah, do you have a large bowl that I can borrow? And it just, everything comes to a screeching halt. Same thing with oven space. Like, that's my oven space. It's my oven. Don't bring your stuff. So everything needs to be a salad or something cold or room temperature. Bring it in little baggies that you can mix ahead of time. I think that's a big thing. So, but everybody at this Friendsgiving has a role, and for the past 10 years, it's worked perfectly.
Well, after you published your story about Friendsgiving, didn't you receive a fair amount of backlash?
I think I've been at Bon Appetit now for 15 years, and I think I've been writing the Foodist column, which this appeared in, for probably 10. And this is the one that I got the most emails and letters about, just angry mothers and fathers.
Why were they so angry?
I think they thought I was saying that family relationships aren't important or something like that. I think they were just taken aback by, I wasn't saying forget about your parents and never call them again. I mean, I'm obliged to go home for the Christmas holidays now, I'll tell you that much. But it was really just like I said, it was about wanting to start my own tradition and I think my parents are cool with it. I mean, they've started to invite their friends over and start their kind of Friendsgiving.
Although some people felt that you'd made negative references about your parents in the article, and they took offense. And didn't some people even threaten to cancel their subscriptions?
They did. Hopefully they have not. I mean, it was all very, There was a little bit of snark in there, but it was all very tongue-in-cheek. It was more about celebrating the people that you love, whether they are family or friends or your children.
Andrew, I never get to ask these kinds of questions, but I wonder about eating the rest of the day. I'm always afraid to have breakfast or lunch when I know that I am going to have this meal that is probably the largest meal, the biggest meal of it,
right,
the year.
That's a good question. I mean, as somebody who eats out for a living and reviews restaurants, when I'm going out and I have four or five meals ahead of me, I don't skip breakfast. I think it's crucial that you get something in your stomach. You don't need a carb load or anything, but you do need to eat something, because then when the pre-dinner snacks roll around, you're not famished and stuffing yourself with crackers and bread. That is kind of pointless.
Let's take a call here. Olivia from the Bronx. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just listening to your show, and I don't know how old your guest is, but it just sounds like, in other things as well, people think they're reinventing the wheel. Back in the 70s, I lived upstate about an hour from the city, and every year a different friend would be the host. The host made the turkey, and that's it. And then everybody else who came brought their best dish, and it was wonderful. And so nobody had too much to do, but we were all together. And so this is not a new idea at all.
Well, potluck is not a new idea either.
No. I'm not saying I'm following in your footsteps. I'm reinventing. I just think one thing that I discovered from friends, and I'm 41, by the way, so I just think so many people kind of not live in fear, but like think they have to go home and they have to do what their parents and those traditional foods. And I just simply wanted to break away. So not reinventing it at all.
Part of the problem for me is I like turkey, not all the time, but right. I like turkey dark meat. I like pumpkin pie. I like cranberry sauce. I like Brussels sprouts. I like string beans. I like mashed potatoes, et cetera. We can go through those things. So this is not a chore for me.
No, and it's not a chore for me either. But I do think that as somebody, like I said, who craves creativity and likes to try new things, every year I try to introduce a few new dishes to the table.
Was it an awkward conversation when you told your parents that you weren't going to be doing this anymore?
I'm an only child, so kind of. No, but I think they understood and, starting my own family.
Susan from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
I don't really want to repeat, but I do want to say that we single people have been doing this forever. So I don't think we can infer that everybody has families with children.
I get your point. Sometimes single people wind up being invited, but sometimes they want to have their own Thanksgiving dinner.
My point is that it's nothing new, that mm-hmm. single people for a very long time have been doing this.
Now, you, Andrew, you haven't been suggesting that. In fact, we started off with you saying I didn't invent this.
Oh, I didn't invent Friendsgiving. I didn't invent, I started this way before I had children. So, no, it's not. I'm not claiming that this is mine or anything. It's just, I just knew that, like I said, a lot of kids I had grown up with always went home out of necessity and just tradition, and I have started my own traditions, that's all.
You mentioned earlier that kids can't have, or no one can have, an electronic device.
That's
is
right.
it hard to get the kids to, is it hard to take the kids' devices away from them?
Like it is whenever you're going out to dinner and all that. But I think it's an important day to give thanks for, all those family and friends. And I think if we can do it at any time of the year, it should be on Thanksgiving to kind of walk away from those things and eat a meal together.
Adults also sometimes are hard to get away from their iPhones, even in the theater, it seems.
Absolutely. And as much as I want to document, all the hard work that we've put into Thanksgiving, I kind of encourage people to just sit back and take a mental picture of it instead of a Snapchat or an Instagram.
So you don't Instagram on Thanksgiving?
I don't. I never have. It's
And when you're reviewing a restaurant, do you pull out the cell phone and take a picture of the dish that you're about to eat?
I will never Instagram a place that I am at kind of reviewing. I will take a picture for my own memory, just to have in kind of hindsight and going back.
Have there been memorable dishes over the years, things that people brought that you definitely wouldn't have had any other way?
Yeah, like the people I mentioned before from Baltimore, they do kind of a sauerkraut dish that is I think it's just in Maryland, in this one part of Maryland, people bringing those up, or a potato gratin made with Hatch green chilies from New Mexico. And then people from New Orleans, you know, bringing up various jambalayas and etouffees, things that I would never have had exposure to, and being able to share, everyone sharing in those traditions.
And who keeps the leftovers?
That's a sticky point. We always have an extra turkey, and I always distribute Tupperware at the end of the meal and divide it up. So we always make more, because that was where we kind of messed up the first few years, is not having enough leftovers. Because that's, to me, one of the best parts of Thanksgiving.
It's one of the best parts. It's also the part that people seem to complain the most about. Oh, my, so much turkey. You can only eat so much turkey salad and
sandwiches. That's why you have to buy a smoked goose, because then there's no complaints.
Well, okay, the next time I see a smoked goose store, I will definitely take you up on that. But meanwhile, people can read about your ideas in Bon Appetit. Don't write any angry letters. He's already received enough. Andrew Knowlton, Knowlton. He's the deputy editor at Bon Appetit. And it has been my great pleasure to have him as a guest on our show today.
Thanks, Leonard.